me back to a fault that I've had before. Psalm 40 and verse number 1, we'll read the five verses here. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy faults which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I'm going to go ahead and read verse number 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Thank God. The law is fulfilled. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word used today for your honor and your glory. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're moving. Thank you for what you're accomplishing here at Gateway. I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to you. I pray, God, that as I preach this morning, that you would allow me to connect with your people and that your word would be magnified. And Lord, they would see you as I preach today. God, give me your wisdom. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I want to take my text from verse number 3 where it says, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now this text is a very interesting text. David wrote that God had done some great things in his life after that he had waited. And it needs to be said that the word waited, it is exactly what you think. Now, I do need to differentiate. It is not weighted in W-E-I-G-H-T, weighted down, loaded down, but weighted, W-A-I-T-E-D, waited on the Lord. God done some great things for David when he waited, and that word carries the meaning of waiting, or think of I waited until God moved, or I waited until God did something. See, we don't get to determine in our waiting the length of the time that we wait on God. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It also needs pointing out that he wasn't waiting in an easy, comfortable place, and we usually never are. Verse 2 says he was in a horrible pit, and in miry clay is where he was waiting on God. I think that we've got some kind of idea in our mind that waiting on God means that we're going to be in the most comfortable position we can possibly be in. Maybe we think of a waiting room at a hospital or a doctor's office where you've got at least a cushioned chair to sit in, and maybe the temperature's right, and you got some nice ambient music playing, and you might hear somebody laughing or talking or something like that going on. And we think that's the type of waiting that we might have to do when we're waiting on God to move. But that ain't the case. And it wasn't the case with David here. David said he was in a horrible pit where he was having to wait. Did you hear what I said? He's in a horrible place in his life where he was having to wait on God to move. He was stuck in the miry clay. That's not just a... Now, I'm an old Georgia boy, and I'm familiar with Georgia clay. And sometimes that Georgia clay is thick. And man, you ever been walking through some clay, and it plumb pull your shoe off when you walk through it? Or some of that old deep mud, and it just snatched your boot right off your foot. And you got to look back, and there it is. And you got a choice to make. You either hop over there, and then you lose your other boot. Somebody say amen right there. Now you ain't got no protection on your feet, and you're still in the mire, you're still in the muck, you're still stuck. You got to wait on somebody to come help you. Sometimes our waiting on the Lord is not as easy as we'd like it to be. I would surmise that it's in this horrible pit of life where the light of day is not seen, and in the miry clay as we struggle to be free yet only find ourselves deeper than we were before or without the protection that we once had. And there, in that moment, in that place, is where we make our desperate plea out to God. That's when we cry out in a more adamant way than ever before. We call out to God and say, Lord, I need your deliverance here. You know, it's funny, we sung that song, God on the Mountain. We rarely call out when things are great. We rarely call out to God and say, Lord, I need you when you're in the midst of a sunshiny day. But you let some horrible pit and some miry clay happen in our life, and we find ourselves unable to do anything but call out to God. I'm reminded of the Hebrew children when they were wandering, just before they wandered out in the wilderness, they got to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was behind them. A mountain was to the left of them. A mountain was to the right of them. The sea, the Red Sea, was out in front of them, and they thought they were surely going to die. They told Moses, said, why didn't you just leave us over there in Egypt? At least in Egypt, we had leeks and onions to eat all the time. That's what they told him. Y'all remember that? At least we had food and we had sustenance and we had all that, even though we had taskmasters and even though we were calling out to God. Why didn't you just leave us in that position? And old Moses said, hey, stand still and see the salvation of God. And God opened up the Red Sea, and the Bible records that they walked across the bottom of the Red Sea on dry ground. You talk about God delivering somebody, God delivered them. So much so that generations went by, and when Joshua went to take the walls of Jericho, Rahab the harlot was there on that wall. Y'all remember this? What'd she tell them spies? We have heard what your God did at the Red Sea. Amen. You might be sitting here this morning, you stuck in a horrible pit in the miry clay. You got your enemies behind you. You got an ocean ahead of you. You got mountains on either side of you. You can't figure out what you're going to do. You don't know what direction you're going to go. Why don't you wait? Stand still and ask God to help you. He'd likely just open up a Red Sea for you. So that generations can go by and you can look back and say, hey, God did that all those years ago. I believe he'll do it again. Yes, I got a feeling I'm going to have me a time preaching. Y'all can either join me or plug your ears. Thank God for the times that we spend waiting on the Lord. They're not easy, but they're worth it. They're not comfortable, but boy, they sure condition us to know who the Lord is. Here are the things that God did for David. God inclined his ear unto him. God heard his cry. God brought him out of that pit. God set him on a solid rock. God established his goings and pointed him in the right direction. And God put a new song in the mouth of old David. And that's what I'd like to look at today, a new song. I want to give you first off the source of this new song. y'all still with me? Yes, y'all going to have to amen me some. Psalm 40 is a messianic song, meaning that it's quoted in the New Testament and it is prophetic in what it's saying. And when you're seeing, or what you're seeing rather, is what God not only did for David, but for Christ on the cross. The prophetic teaching that is in here in Psalm 40 is prophesying about Christ and what he would experience, the horrible pit of the persecution of the cross, the horrible pit in the miry clay of his body being beaten and scourged for you and I. So you and I are delivered by Christ. To apply this psalm to our life, we must know that great deliverer. And Jesus is the source of this song. Amen?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Isaiah 12 and verse number 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Now, I've been preaching for a good little while this morning, and if you don't know the one that I'm trying to point you to yet, then you don't have the new song in your heart and in your life. This source of this new song with me, now I was raised up in church, and so the songs that come to my mind, Brother Billy, this might happen to you. Brother Rich, might happen to you too. I get to thinking about the Lord and thinking about the things that's going on in my life. And then I'll have an old hymn come back in my mind. "I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been. Y'all like that part, didn't you? Redeemed. And that old song will come up in my mind. Why? Because the Lord implanted a song in my heart when he saved me, amen. He gave me something else to sing other than the world's blues and the world's sadness. God gave me a new song that I can sing in my heart when everything else is going crazy and my world is full of muck and mire and I'm in a horrible pit. I can say the Lord is my shepherd, amen. That's a psalm, that's a song. I shall not want. I find myself when I'm waiting, I find myself wanting. And when I remember that I've got the Savior who is the song in my heart, I don't have to want because he satisfies every need that I've ever had. Amen. He's good to me. He's been good to me. Isaiah said he's become my song. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He's more than I prayed for. What more could I ask for? Jesus is precious to me. He's not just a historical character. He's the song that the Lord implanted in my heart when the days are difficult. You know what a song brings? A song brings joy. Glory to God. I'm glad that Christians can have joy in their heart when everything is wrong and the horrible pit of life is happening. You can sing that song, amen? You can sing, "I got joy down in my heart." You okay? We're going back to Bible school, ain't we? Deep, deep down in my heart, spell it. J-O-Y down in my heart. Deep, deep down in my heart, Jesus put it there. Nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. I got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Amen. Sometimes you just got to sing the simple songs like, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I'm talking about when you've sinned against God and when things are down there in that horrible pit and you think, "I don't know if God's going to do anything. I don't know if God's going to work in my life." Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Here's what I like to say. I am weak, but he is strong. Thank God for the song that the Lord puts in our hearts and allows us to sing so that we can glorify him. He gave old David a new song. There's a passage of scripture. I wasn't going to use it, but the Lord just keeps impressing it on my heart while I'm up here preaching, where the Hebrews was brought into captivity. I believe it's in the book of Psalms, and they said they hanged their harps in the willow trees. And they said, "How can we sing a song?" Some of you this morning, you in the horrible pit, You're in the muck and the mire of the world, and you're thinking, how in the world can Brother Josh sing a song while he's in the midst of it, so much so that we think it's rude? I come across a video the other day of some nurses making fun of families that was singing "I'll Fly Away" when they was in the nursing home. They don't know the one who inspired that song, do they? Y'all okay? Thank God for the song and the peace that while heartache is happening and while destruction is going on all around us, we can praise the Lord in song. Here's what those old people, they hung their harps on the willow trees and God still gave them a song. They might have thought they didn't have no reason to sing, but they had every reason to sing. You might not think that you have any reason to sing, and you... Here's what I like about the Lord. You might not can carry a tune in a bucket. You might not can keep time. But if you'll just get along between you and the Lord and sing it unto Him, watch your heart change. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. Before I was in the miry pit. All my life You had been so, so good. With every breath that I am breathing, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Even in the midst of the miry clay and in the horrible pit. God gave David a brand new song, and Jesus was the source of that song. I'm having me a time. I hope y'all are too. Lord, I think I needed this message more than they did. I want you to notice the nature of this song. So we had the source of this song, but notice the nature of this song. It is a song of deliverance. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I don't know how he got in the pit, but I know God got him out. I don't know how he got in the depression, but I know God got him out. I don't know how he got in the discouragement, but I know God got him out. I don't know how he got defeated, but I know God gave him victory. Amen. I don't know how that he got in the position where he was in, where he was stuck in the muck and the mire of the world, but I know that God delivered him out of that trouble that he was in. Psalms 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Can I go back to that word buckler? Come on. Y'all don't mind, do you, if I preach on the word buckler? Yes. Think of your belt buckle. Amen? Now I got me one of them zip tie belts on this morning. Thank you, Brother James. He turned me on that idea a long time ago. Thank God. But think of a buckle. You know what that buckle does? It holds it all together. Amen. And he has become my strength and my shield and my buckler. Not only is what gives me strength, not only is he the one that protects me, but praise God, he's what holds me all together when I'm feeling like falling apart. He's the buckler in my life and keeps me in the position I need to be in. Thank God for that. Psalm 40:17 said, "But I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying." Oh, my God. Lord, don't take no too much time, but come on. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Psalm 144, verse number 2, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me," is a song of deliverance that old David is singing. Is a song of security. The nature of this song, a song of security. "He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." We're singing a song of security when we started out this morning. But in Baptist, we say, "I never shall forget the day Amen. I won't ever be able to hit that note again. We open up wide and we sing that song of assurance and song of security. No, David said, for in the time, Psalm 27, verse number 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Thank God, old David knew the song of security and knew how to sing it. Psalm 61, 2 said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now I know we got some overwhelmed hearts in our congregation this morning because I know you and I've been on the phone with you all week long. Yeah. Amen. Y'all okay? We got some that's overwhelmed that's watching. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the, can y'all say that next word? Rock. Yes. That is higher than I. Yes. That rock, it ain't gonna move. Paul said that rock was Christ. Yeah. He's the nature of the song that we sing. He's the security in this song that we sing. There's another part of it. He is a song, or the nature of this, he's a song of gratitude. Y'all still with me? 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When you get in the midst of the horrible pit and the miry clay, it is easy to forget to be thankful. And it's difficult. It's difficult to be thankful. Everything's going wrong. Everything's falling apart. Life seems to be falling apart. You don't want to thank God. I got to tell them. If I don't, they're going to get on to me. Friday, sometime Friday. Don't, now y'all don't gasp. It'll be okay. I'm serious what I'm about to say. Sometime Friday, our heat went out in our house. Coldest weekend of the year. Hallelujah. Me and Miss Tara got in the truck Friday night. We're going on a date. We was going over all our options, what we can do. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I grabbed her hand, and I started talking to the Lord just like I was talking to you. And I said, I don't know what you're going to do about this, but you're going to have to take care of it. Here's what I said in the middle of that. And if you want me to spend a cold night, I'll spend a cold night. And I'm still going to be thankful. It still ain't fixed. Hold on. My house ain't dropped below 63 degrees. It's 16, 17 degrees outside. Y'all okay? I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. Thank God, thank God. He takes care of his own and knows how to meet every need that we have. And you say, well, ain't you worried about getting it fixed? I ain't giving nobody a weekend call. Amen. Yeah. I know what them things cost. Praise God. We can wait till Monday morning. We made it thus far. The house is still warm. Y'all okay? I'll be all right. God's not going to let me die. And if he dies, I'll wake up in glory. Amen. Sometimes you have to sing a song of gratitude even when conditions are not optimal for praise. I don't like where I am. I don't like being cold. But God's good in the cold. God takes care and makes sure everything's looked after. And I worry about things I ain't got no business worrying about. That's God's business, what happens in my heat and air. Amen. I'm his servant. That's his business, what happens in. Amen. Amen. That's God's business, how I'm taken care of. It ain't up to me to worry about. It's just up to me to keep praising him in no matter what the circumstances are. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," is a song of gratitude in the condition that he was in. I'm looking here, my Bible's open to Psalm 40 on this page, but I just happened to glance down in the way that my Bible is set up. Psalm 42 is right down at the bottom of the next page, and I got to read it. That ain't got nothing to do with the message. But the Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Well, you get him in the right place, and he'll meet every need that you've got. I want to give you this last thing here. This dear song, I want you to see the goodness of this song. The goodness of this song. It ain't got nothing to do with us. David said, "Many shall see it." It ain't got nothing to do with us. But somebody is watching. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody sees what's going on in your life. And Isaiah 55:11 said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." There is nothing that will reach people like the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And you go to seeing God's goodness in here. I want you to turn to John chapter number 12, and I want to read a few verses to you. John chapter number 12. And verse number 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now here he is, he's about to go to the cross. Verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, have one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me, and he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak." There were many that believed when they saw what Jesus was going through. Your sufferings, the things that you're dealing with, they're not in vain. Somebody is seeing what's happening. Many were converted. Jesus came that many might believe. I'd say there ain't nothing more Christ-like than to suffer a little while and wait on the Lord. We don't like that. We want instant Jesus.
Come on.
We want instant Jesus. We want to treat him like a bowl of grits, man. Just boil some water and dump it over. Throw a little bit of butter. I'll get out in a minute. Throw a little bit of butter, some salt in them things. If you put sugar in grits, don't come talk to me. I love you, but don't come talk to me. We can be friends later. Let's just not discuss that. We want that instant Jesus, and we want him to be savory and good. And we want him how we want him, not how he is. Thank God. He doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Exalting God, exalting his word in the midst of what you're going through will reach many more, though there are those who refuse to believe. There are some that we're not going to be able to reach, and that's okay. You leave them to the Lord. And I believe the Lord will send the right person along at the right time.
Amen.
If you ain't noticed yet, I got a haircut yesterday. Thank God. I was feeling shaggy. And I was sitting in that chair. I'd never been in this barbershop before. And I didn't really know why I had this particular barbershop on my heart. I really don't. I got a good lady that cuts my hair, and I just needed to get it done, so I ran down there, and there's a young man cutting my hair, young barber, 23 years old. And it was just me and him. He stayed late for me. And he got talking with me, and he asked me some things about my life, and he said, you're married? And I said, yes, sir, I'm married. And he said, how long have you been married? I said, 25 years this coming August. He said, you got any advice? I've been married a year. I said, yes. Always communicate. Yes. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Me and him talked a little bit more. And in the course of the conversation, I said, I'm a pastor. Got that little sense, you know, that little inkling. Brother Lloyd, you know that little inkling when you need to go ahead and tell him you're a preacher? You know, I'm here to help you. Man, I'm talking about me and him had a meeting right there in the middle of the barbershop. Wasn't nobody else in there but just me and him. He told me where he's been going to church. Told me he'd been clean and sober for 2 years now. God been working in his heart and in his life. And he gave me what I think is a good haircut. Miss Eva. And I left there getting his number, and he said, man, there's sometimes I need somebody to talk to. I said, you give me a call, buddy, anytime. I'll tell you this, even in things that you think ain't important, something as insignificant as going and getting a haircut, God might put you in a position to help somebody else. I didn't run God down. I didn't tell him every wrong thing that was going on in my life. I like to run. I ain't got to run since Tuesday. I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell him that the heat was out. I just said God's good. I guess I'm telling you these personal stories because I feel like that you get them when I tell them. I'm not trying to brag on me and what I'm going through. I'm trying to brag on God and what he delivers me out of. And how he puts me in positions. And how he can do the same thing with you. You can be a testimony. You can be a light right where you are. You can honor God. God will work through, in, and with your life. Maybe you're in the midst of the miry pit. Maybe you're in a horrible place. I want you to know that there is hope.
Amen.
There is hope. There is help. There is strength. There is wisdom. There is guidance. There's protection. There's life. Maybe you're in here this morning, you're devastated. You came to church, one last defense. There's life after devastation. There's help when you think no one cares. And he put this song in your heart and in your life and let you sing it too. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've preached what I believe you laid on my heart. God, I pray that as your people may respond to the message, whether it be right where they're at, or whether they come down to this altar, whether they're watching online, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help. I pray that you would move. Lord, I pray that you would deliver. God, I pray that you would give them the song that you've given to so many. I pray that you would give them the help that you've given to so many. Lord, you said you're a very present help in our time of need. God, I pray that you'd be the help just now to those that are in need. Have your will and your way. Thank you for what you'll do this morning. In Jesus' name.